always fun when you get to work with your students. And she's one of the great ones, so thank you. Wasn't our worship band great tonight, or today? Now, I know what you guys are thinking. How did David get in with the young guys, right? Well, he's young at heart, and David, we really appreciate you for serving today with the group. So, if you don't know me, my name is Steve, and I'm on staff here. Oh, sorry. Oh, my goodness. This is horrible when I'm the guy that does this. Kids, I know you want to stay and hang out with me, but you are dismissed to go to your own service. If you have an elementary age student, they can follow Miko right out the door here. And we have a service specifically for them, and it's going to be great. So as I was saying, my name is Steve, and I am the generations director / youth pastor here. So I work with the infants all the way through young adult ministries, and then I get to have the privilege and honor every Wednesday of serving with our youth ministry. And I've had the opportunity this morning to speak. I'm not the senior pastor. I'm not the normal guy up on stage. But I have the chance today to get to speak to you guys. And so if you haven't been with us, we've been doing a year-long reading. How many of you are doing the reading? It's always fun when you get to be the one asking and look and see. It's okay. No shame. I have missed some days, and I've tried to get back on it. The important thing is get with us. We're reading the Bible through a year, and we have a devotional plan that's really great. And as you go through it, it's going to be really important to the Sunday messages, because every Sunday we're preaching on the topics that we've been reading about. So if you're caught up, this week I had the challenge of going through 1 Samuel 13 through 31, quite a wide range of scripture. And I was going through this and thinking about it. And as I'm thinking, one thing that some of you may not know, I have an almost 2-year-old son. He'll be 2 in June. His name's Hunter. If you see a little blonde-haired kid running around going all over the place, owning the church, that's him. He does what he wants, but not really. Hunter, we're going through this stage right now where we're really trying to work on discipline. We're really trying to teach him to do the right thing. And lately, I've been talking to him, and when I tell him to go do something, like go sit on the potty, he'll kind of push back, because that's what 2-year-olds do, or grown adults, right? We push back when we don't want to do something. And we'll be talking this out, I know, with a 2-year-old, but I'll be talking to him saying, you need to go sit on the toilet. You got to do it. And then finally I'll say, do the right thing, or make the right choice. See, doing the right thing isn't about the specific thing that you're doing. It's about the obedience. At that moment, him, when I tell him do the right thing, it's about obeying mom or dad. Today, we're going to be talking about doing the right thing. We're going to look through the scriptures of 1 Samuel 13 through 31 and Proverbs, and we're going to talk about doing the right thing. Let's pray real quick. God, I thank you so much for this opportunity. I thank you for this family that we have. I thank you for your word, that your word is true and consistent. And I thank you for your promises. I pray right now that you would just speak to us. Just let my words fall, and whatever you want to speak to this group, let that come out. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Proverbs 21, it says, a person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart. To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. See, God calls us to do the right thing. Not what we think is the right thing, not what certain political views say are the right thing, not what celebrities may say the right thing is, what the new fad is, not what your social media might say is the right thing, what society is telling you the right thing is. Doing the right thing isn't even about what you think or I think or even what Siri thinks the right thing is. Doing the right thing means doing what God says is right. God's word is always true. His ways are always the right thing. The right thing is to obey. Now, before we get into how to do the right thing, we need to look at what the wrong thing is. Let's talk a little bit about that. I know that might make some of you uncomfortable here, but let's go ahead and talk about that for a moment. The problem with doing the wrong thing is always sin. If doing the right thing is obedience, sin, by definition, is disobeying God. And so doing the wrong thing is sin. And doing the wrong thing always leads to consequences. In Proverbs, it says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. See, there's consequences, and we could look throughout scriptures, and we'll see some of it today. There's defeat, there's destruction, there's hurt, there's broken relationships, there's spiritual death, there's physical death, and the list goes on. Doing the wrong thing has consequences. Doing the wrong thing once starts a cycle of continuing to do the wrong thing. Have you ever had that moment where you just make one wrong choice? And then you start your rest of your day, you're just trying to keep digging yourself, and you're making another mistake to cover up that one and another one. Or am I the only one? But as one of my favorite movies, The Incredibles, they say, if you want to get out of the hole, you got to put down the shovel first. We got to stop doing the wrong thing. Doing the wrong thing is foolish. Sorry, my notes are not up to... Did you guys see me click something? Let me make sure real quick. Nope. Okay. That's all right. So Saul, that's where we're at. Saul is talking about, in Samuel, Samuel is the prophet who's anointing the first king, Saul. And Saul did the wrong thing over and over after he had rallied these troops and become this conqueror. He started making really wrong choices. The first time he made a wrong choice, we see it in 1 Samuel 13. And it says, "You have done a foolish thing." Samuel said, "You have not kept the command the Lord God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command." Doing the wrong thing is foolish. We can't be foolish. See, Saul, in this passage, just to kind of sum up what happened there, he was just waiting for Samuel to show up, and he made a decision to do something on his own. I'll get more into it later down the road here. But the problem was he focused on what he thought the right thing was instead of obeying God. Many times we can find ourselves trying to put into practice what we think is right in the moment, even if we're thinking we're doing it for God. But is it what God told us to do? Are we obeying him? And then later on in 1 Samuel, this line hits hard to me. To obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed is better than the fat of rams. Again, it's not always about just doing what seems to be right in the moment, but you need to obey God. You could do all the good things. You could be here on a Sunday morning, worship God, put your money in the offering, go and serve. But if you're not obeying the other commands, start there. Start there. Start obeying. Too often we focus on what we think God wants us to do instead of doing what God tells us to do. In order to do that, we have to look at what does it mean to do the right thing. So if you've got your notes, I've got some fill-in-the-blanks for you. Keep up. It's going to be a lot. I'm not going through all these scriptures into detail with it because hopefully you've done the reading. So hopefully you're with me, but I'll try to keep you up to date. Number one, do the right thing for the right reason. Sorry, I'm looking at a different monitor. Do the right thing for the right reason. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. See, doing the right thing for the right reason, that's our motive. Motive holds up over time. Without the right reason, you will compromise. Without the right reason, you'll give in. See, one of the things that we look at through the scriptures is David was able to continue to obey God and not kill Saul because he had the right reasons, because he realized who was in charge, who was in real authority. I don't know about you guys, but I've my whole life had this constant battle of trying to get healthy. Throughout life, I'd go on these kicks of getting into diets and working out and trying really hard. And one of the times in my young 20s, I was starting to work out because I thought, I'm ready to settle down. I wanna find a wife. I want to get the girl. Anyone else ever been there? Right? You start going to the gym. You start working out a little bit, doing some stuff. I started running half marathons. I did 6 in a year. Like, this was crazy. And then Faith, at the time Keeler, walks into my life, my beautiful wife back there, and we get married. Not that quick. It's not how it all worked out. Don't, you know, so. But as soon as that happened, as soon as I realized, oh, I got the girl, I stopped working out. My motive was wrong. I was doing the right thing, but with the wrong reason. Because that doesn't hold up. Because as soon as the girl shows up, I gave up. This time, over the past 6 months, I've been plugging in hard. I've been going to the gym, working out, eating right, losing. I've lost 65 pounds. And I'm not saying that, thank you, but I'm not saying that to like say, look at what I've done. I'm saying that to say like, I've pushed hard and I'm going to keep going. There's no like stopping point with this of stop eating healthy or stop working out. It's a lifestyle. And the reason why it's a lifestyle now is because my motive, my reason is right. See, instead of trying to get the girl or fit in with a certain group, I want to be healthy for my kids. I've got another one on the way in October. I want to be able to keep running around. Thank you. I want to keep running around with my kids. I want to be healthy for my wife. I want to be healthy for myself. I want to be able to be the best example to the students and to the families that I minister to. Ultimately, I want to be able to be used by God in the best way possible, and I believe that my health is a part of that. When you have the right reason in place, you can stand through and not compromise. Not only do we need to make sure that we have the right motives, but we need to make sure we're not pressured by the wrong motives. See, fear of man will compromise you. It will push you to start going the wrong way. It will become a snare. Now let's look at two examples of people that did this right and did this wrong. In 1 Samuel 17, now this is the epic story of David and Goliath, so I hope I don't have to explain this too much, but the summed up version, young man who's not a warrior comes out. He's had some stuff, some training, so I don't want to make it like he hasn't done anything. He fought off a bear and a lion, so he knows what he's doing a little bit, but he's battling a gigantic ogre of a man, okay? This guy, this warrior who's been slaughtering people, Goliath, David is going into this epic battle with him. And if you know the story, he slings the rock and kills this giant. Now, these are this is the conversation right before that moment. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and the javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Right thing, right reason. It wasn't about him making a name for himself. It wasn't about him trying to say, let me show you how great I am. He wasn't. He was just a young guy who had no right to be out there. But he heard what this giant was doing, what he was doing to the people of Israel, what he was saying about God. And he stood up. He had the right motive. And then a couple verses down, all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. He was standing for the right reason. Now fast forward just a little bit further after this all happens. He kills Goliath and then he gets brought into the courts with Saul. Saul promises him to be married to a daughter. Saul's daughter and David find out that, hey, we like each other. We want to get married. And so Saul has this moment Now pay close attention. I will give her to him, he thought, so that she may be a snare to him, and so that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. He's going to give her to him. Right thing. So that she might be a snare. Wrong reason. See, he had this all messed up. He constantly was doing things that he would do things kind of the right way, but for the wrong reason, or so on. You got to watch out. Are you doing things for the right reason? If so, it will stand. Number two, do the right thing at the right time. Do the right thing at the right time. It's so important. Timing is everything. If you throw something in a crock pot and you pull it out an hour later, is it going to be good? All you crock pot people. I mean, now we got the Instant Pot so you can speed up the time, right? But you got to let it sit and simmer and build character, right? Before you can eat that meal and enjoy it. There's a timing. But if you let something sit too long, it can also go bad. Timing is everything. See, back in 1 Samuel 13, that scripture we were talking about, Saul was given clear instructions to wait for Samuel, to wait for him to arrive, and then Samuel would come and do the offering to God before they would go out to war. He told him to wait for 7 days. So Saul's sitting there waiting with his men, and he's starting to get a little antsy. He's starting to look around going, I don't know, what's going on? Where's he at? And he gets nervous. So what does he do? He performs the offering himself. He disobeyed God's command. And see, ultimately not waiting, it lost him his kingdom, his men in battle, and ultimately it sent him down this trajectory of just really a wrong path of, it says that this evil spirit or this spirit came on him that was just resentful and would do things and he was doing wrong. The right time is everything. Even Jesus modeled this. He had plenty of opportunities to say, hey, guess what? I'm God. And he didn't. He waited for the right time. He knew when his time was. He did the right thing at the right time. Number three, do the right thing the right way. This is all about integrity. You could do everything right up to the very last bit. And when you leave that one piece out, everything crumbles. See, Saul's moment was happening. He had already messed up once. He did the wrong thing, and then Samuel came back and gave him another chance. God was ready to give him one more chance to do something. He said, go and attack the Amalekites. Totally wipe them out. Pretty clear instructions, right? Like, wipe them out completely. Don't leave anyone or anything behind. Get rid of the people and the livestock. Don't spare anyone, it says. But what did Saul do? He immediately, he went out there and he kept the king alive and he kept the livestock. Now see, at this point, I was just hoping that Saul would have redeemed himself. Anyone else, like, you know, as you're reading through the scriptures, do you ever get that moment where you relate with the person and you're like, man, come on, pull through, you can do it, be the underdog. Not in this story. He didn't make the right choice. He almost did, but almost doesn't get you there. He spared the king and the livestock. How many times in our own lives does God tell us to get rid of sin, to get rid of things in our life that are holding us back, and we clear out everything, we purge it all, except for that one hidden sin in our heart? Obedience is everything. You can't hold back. You can't keep one thing with you. It's either all or nothing. See, technically, he did the right thing, but he did it the wrong way. He got lost in the details. After that, there was a conversation back and forth. God talked with Samuel, and he said, I regret that I've made Saul king because he has turned away from me, and he has not carried out my instructions. And then Samuel was angry, and he cried out to God, and he wrestled all night with this just feeling of, man, what is going on? Next day, he goes to Saul, and he confronts him. And here's what Saul says. the Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions. What? Wait a minute. We just read you didn't do it. But he's like, now at this point, just denial. So Samuel, I love this. Samuel's just like, what then is the bleating of sheep in my ears? What is the lowing of cattle that I hear? He's just calling him out. He's like, hey, gotcha. And so Saul then answers and he says, well, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best. Oh, I don't think I need those. That's okay. Thank you. We spared the best of the cattle, the sheep and the cattle, to sacrifice to the Lord. Now check this out. He says, your God. Whoa, wait a minute. I thought he was your God too, Saul. What's going on? See, things start to get a little tricky when you start doing the wrong thing. You start passing off the blame and the ownership, right? See, at this point, Samuel was fed up. Enough is enough, he tells Saul. God is going to take your throne from you. And then we got one last little conversation here. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? And even now, Saul could have like owned up, right? But he said, but I did obey the Lord. The dude was blinded. Sometimes we get so blinded thinking we are doing the right thing and not realizing we are doing it our way instead of God's. And God's way is always the right way. We need to be taking those blinders off. We need to realize, we need to see the reality. We need to take off the filters that we're looking through and see, is this really God's way or are we doing it our way? Because our way is not the right way. We need to do the right thing, even when it's hard. See, David, on the other hand, had many opportunities. He was getting chased around by Saul. Saul wanted to kill David. He wasn't happy with how David was getting praise and recognition and success, and he was getting fearful. And David had this just moments where he had to keep dodging Saul. And he had two different times that the Bible talks about where he could have killed Saul. No one around, so easy to do. One of the times, Saul went into a cave to relieve himself, and it says he went in there and he took care of business, and David and his men saw that. And David's men saw that there was an opportunity. They said, this is it. This is your chance. Go in there. Go and get rid of the dude. He's been chasing you around. David sneaks in. He gets real close, takes a knife, and cuts off the corner of the robe. And immediately, though, check this out. This is a really key thing. Right after, it says that David was conscience stricken. See, right after, David had that awareness that he did wrong. He realized and he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord. And then with those words, he sharply rebuked his men and he said, you are not to lay a finger on him. Leave him alone. Man, if anyone knows doing the right thing in a really tough situation, it must have been David. This guy had been chasing him for no right reason. He could have killed him. No one would have known. They could have made it look like an accident, said he like choked on a rock or something because he was wanting, I don't know, whatever reason, right? I don't know. What else is in a cave? A bear? I don't know. They could have made it look like a bear attack. But he didn't. He did the right thing. And then he went and he confronted Saul and told him, like, hey, here's what I did, and I shouldn't have done this. And then they had this whole conversation, and Saul had a moment of, like, oh, man, I'm a horrible guy for doing this to you. Let's hug it out. But then they went back to being, like, him chasing him, trying to kill him. Like, it just keeps going crazy. But David did the right thing. See, we need to do the right thing when no one is watching. C.S. Lewis says integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is watching. Do you want to be people of integrity? I do. I have a confession. I'm really not good at driving in a car. I'm a good driver. I'm just not good driving in a car because other people around me, they tick me off. Is anyone else there like, people don't know how to drive? And this is, I'm just being real honest. Can I be honest with my church family today? Like, forgive me, Lord, okay? I just have a really, like, short fuse with people sometimes, and they cut me off, and I get all frustrated, and I'm watching someone drive slow for no reason. What are you doing? So one day I'm driving. I live in Santa Clara. I'm driving down 280 to get to the church, and this guy just goes from the far end. We're at De Anza Boulevard. I'm about to exit, and he cuts all the way across in front of me. Come on, people! Like, really, those were the words that came out of my mouth, and thank God that was the only words. I'm human, okay? Like, and then in this little faint voice behind me, I hear, people! I forgot my son was in the car. Thank God I only said, come on, people. But quickly, like, I freak out, and I go, oh, man, okay, now I got to, like, make fun of him. And we just start saying, my people. And so now my son goes around and says, my people. So if he points at you and says, my people, you're all his people, okay? It's not that he's trying to cuss you out or anything because you're driving crazy. I thought no one was watching. But even if Hunter wasn't watching me, God still sees my heart. Even if I don't say the words, God still sees what's inside of me. We have to have integrity like that to where we realize that no matter what we say and don't say, it's still in our heart. Are you doing the right thing? Are you doing it for the right reason? Do you do it at the right time? Are you doing it the right way? So, as we wrap up, how do we do the right thing? I got 5 points for us, and we're going to be done and go enjoy some tacos and some more things, whatever those more things are. I'm excited to find out. Number one, we do the right thing by doing this. We learn and understand what the right thing is. You need to know what the right thing is. What to obey. To obey, you need to know what to obey, right? How do we do that? Oh, wait, isn't there this book that is from God that tells us how to do things, how to live a life that's pure and right and, man, keeps us out of trouble? Oh, that would be really great. We should put a note to God about doing that, right? The Bible. The Bible is our answer. Read God's Word. Study it. The Scripture says, evildoers do not understand what is right, but those who see the Lord understand it fully. Do we want to be a room full of evildoers or people who see the Lord and understand God's word fully? We can do that by hiding his word in our heart. Psalm 119 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You don't want to disobey. You want to do the right thing. Hide God's word in your heart. That's why the reading plan is so crucial. That's why memorizing scripture, which we do with the kids, is so crucial. And it's not for kids. It's for all of us. Man, sometimes I wish we could just go back to the simple teachings that the kids are hearing and hear that on repeat because I know I need it. Read God's word. Study it. Hide it in your heart. Number two, listen and obey the Spirit. It's really important. See, God has gifted us with his Spirit to give us guidance, direction, correction, to tell us how to do things, to remind us in the moment, hey, don't go down that path because guess what? You're going to be digging that deep hole down there. Don't go that way. Don't look at that. Don't pick that up. Listen to where I'm telling you to go. Listen to who I'm telling you to talk to. We have to start listening and obeying the Spirit. And it's key that we have both. You can't just listen, right? How many of you know, like you parents in the room, if you tell your kid to do something and they didn't do it, did they really listen? No. They got to obey. That is the whole key to it. Listen and obey. Number three, real simple but really hard to do sometimes, accountability. We need accountability in our lives. Proverbs 12 says, "The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice." I just wonder, what if Saul would have had someone accountable with him in the moment? See, Samuel, the guy that was supposed to be, that was telling him and walking him through stuff, was gone in both of those instances. What if he had a guy that he was trusting, that he would listen to, and that guy said, "Hey, whoa, I know you're freaking out, the guys are running all over, but just let's hold off. Let's not do Samuel's job for him. Let's wait." Oh man, that would have helped a lot. What if in the moment he would have told him, "Hey, remember what God told us to do? We got to get rid of everything. I know you think this is everything, but what's all those sheep and cattle over there? Get rid of them. That king, yeah, it's part of everything." It would have saved his butt, right? But he didn't have that accountability. And in our lives, sometimes we might not want the accountability because we have this thing wrestling inside of us where our fleshly desire wants to keep doing the wrong thing. It's the whole thing that Paul says in the New Testament, "I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I want to do." People, we need to find accountability. Find people that you can trust, that are going to keep you right, that are going to remind you when you're messing up, give you a nice little smack upside the head and say, "Get back on it. What are you doing?" We need that. I need that. You need that. We all need accountability. But here's the trick. If you have someone that you're accountable with and they tell you that you're messing up and they're right with it and you go, yeah, whatever, you got to change you, okay? It's not the person. The person's not messing you up. Like, it's like when I get a workout buddy and I go to the gym, they could remind me and tell me, "Hey, why are you doing it this way? Why are you eating that junk food again?" And I go, whatever. And then I blame them. You can't blame the person that's trying to walk you the right way. You got to look at yourself. All right, learn and understand, listen and obey, accountability. Number four, don't make excuses. As Nike says, just do it. Don't make excuses, just do it. This is the hardest thing, right? See, the more time that you take thinking about whether or not you will do the right thing, the more excuses you allow yourself to come up with. Saul was the king of making excuses. See, Saul made excuses. "My men were scattering. We were losing the guys. What are we going to do? We were going to lose. But you didn't show up, Samuel." How many of us do that with God, right? Like, I blame God and make an excuse of why I did the wrong thing because I felt like God wasn't around. He'll never leave you. He's right there with you. He's just not going to force you to do it. He gave us free will. Other excuses. I didn't have an offering for God. I had to give him an offering. Well, we were going to give this livestock as an offering to God. Excuses, excuses, excuses. Well, I don't like how David is getting more recognition than me. We just keep making them up. Some of us, we just can't stop the excuses. What excuses do you make up to not do the right thing? "But my wife, she doesn't show up with enough respect for me, so I have to treat her this way." Nope, excuse. "But my boss doesn't appreciate me enough, so why should I work so..." Excuse. "But if I give that money, how will I pay my bills?" Excuse. It is. "But they don't know how hard I worked for that, and I deserve..." Nope. "But the person across the street, they get away..." Nope. "But no one's going to know if I just give in a little..." Excuse. But. If you're using the word "but," guess what? Excuse. Okay? We can't make up excuses. Instead, when you know the right thing, just do it. That's obedience. I keep telling Hunter, go sit on the potty so that you can pee in the potty instead of your pants. And when he fights me, I get to a point where I'm like, just do it, Hunter. Please. It will make your life so much better. And I think in the moment, for you parents and for everyone, really, we should really take the moment. This is just a side thought. In my life with Hunter,
I realize every moment that I'm parenting him, God's speaking right to me. The moment that I'm getting frustrated and being like, can you just do what I'm saying? I hear God saying to me, can you just do what I'm saying? Really, please. Like, why can't we get this? It's so hard, but it's so easy at the same time. Number five, because there are moments that we do mess up. We make the wrong choice. When you catch yourself in the wrong, repent and renew. Repent and renew. Know that God is willing to forgive. Rujal, you can come on up. I want to tell you today that it's important to make the right choice, but it's just as important to make the next right choice when you do fail. To repent right away. What if Saul would have turned really to God and repented when he made the wrong choice? See, he was still focused on how it made him feel and what his effects and his consequences were going to be, not that he wronged God. I'm giving you a little spoiler here, but that same David guy who conquers giants and does the right thing over and over in his later years as king, at his prime, he blows it big time. Blows it at phenomenal proportions, the worst ever, epic, like killing people, taking advantage of someone, and all these things, lying about it, doing all this crazy stuff. If you know the story, you know what I'm talking about. You'll get into the reading. But this verse right here, I love this verse. Because this shows a heart for God, even in the midst of failure. This is the heart that we should have. David, after getting called out on this is his cry out to God. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Church, we fall short. We are sinners. We still mess up to this day. If I was to ask, I'm sure every single hand would go up if I said, hey, do you struggle with ever like not doing the right thing? My hand would go way up there, right? The important thing is, what are you going to do with the next chance? Because when you realize you do the wrong thing, you have to do the right thing and turn back to God. Will you do the right thing? Will you do the right thing for the right reason? At the right time? Will you do it the right way when no one else is looking? One thing to do the right thing in front of the cameras, in front of everyone. It's another thing to do it when no one else is watching. It's another thing when you're home alone, when you have a certain attitude with someone, when something pops on your TV that you know is killing your spirit. What are you going to do in that moment? What about the good things that you should be doing? Are you coming home from work and just drowning out the noise, or are you coming home being intentional with your family? You got one chance for that. They grow up so quick. I'm saying that at the very beginning of this with a 2-year-old, but man, it went so fast. Are you getting involved in a small group and letting those people be people that will challenge you and correct you and point out God's truth? Maybe the right thing for you is to serve. You've been so focused on me, and what do I get? But you've got a whole community, a whole church body here that is just waiting for you to be plugged in and do something. Maybe the right thing is to give something up, something that's just been eating away at you, tearing you apart. Or maybe it's to take something on. Take on those fruits of the Spirit. God is calling us all to Him. And He wants you to obey. He He wants me to obey. His word is full of direction. His spirit is kind and loving and gentle and will guide us, but will correct us when we're wrong. We need to do the right thing. Can I just pray for you guys right now? Would you bow your heads? As I just spoke this last part, I don't want to miss a chance for us to do the right thing and get right with God. Some of you, there are things in your life that you are just intentionally doing wrong. Some of us, we don't realize that we've been doing wrong, and we just need to get back on the right. Some of us, we're almost doing the right thing, but we're doing it the wrong way. Some of us, we're really trying hard and we keep messing up because we just don't have the right motive. I want to tell you that Jesus can provide for you. He can change those things in you. He can give you the right motives. He can show you the right way. He can change that heart. Just like David's cry, create in me a clean heart and give me a new spirit. If today in this room you're feeling like this message is spoken to you and you're either in the boat of I've been doing the wrong thing and I need to change it now, or maybe you've been doing the right thing but you just need a new motive because you realize your motive is wrong. If that's you and you just want some prayer today, would you put up a hand? Yeah, I see those hands. You can put them down. I'll be praying with you. That's my prayer too. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much. I thank you for your heart. I thank you that you love us. Thank you that you show us the right way to live, that the right way is obedience, that Jesus showed us that from the very get-go coming down to earth. He showed us how to obey, how to do the right thing with the right motives, in the right timing, and for the right, in the right way. God, I pray for the hands that were lifted. I pray for the people. I pray for myself, God. Would you just create in us a new heart, a clean heart, and a new spirit? Forgive us for making up excuses. Forgive us for allowing fear to come in. Forgive us for having the wrong motives, for lacking the integrity. We need more of you. Would you just change our heart? Give us the right motives. Help us to put in the hard work to get rid of the excuses and just do the right thing. Thank you so much, God, for your love, for your sacrifice for us that allows us to come to you and say, we've messed up, but help us to do the right thing now. I thank you for that, God. Pray that you would just allow us to go out of this place now and enjoy the rest of the day and do the right thing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please see our website at www.alagonline.com. That's www.alagonline.com. Or you can call us at area code 408-252-2668. Our address is 10,100 North Selling Road in Cupertino, California.